Oh God, may you speak to us today. May you give us fresh insight into your word, fresh insight into who you are and who we are in you. Amen. So, as Alan pointed out, he read those readings in a different order to the one that we traditionally have. And the reason is because they followed on chronologically, and we're going to follow through chronologically. So traditionally, you would normally have the gospel as your last reading, but today we're going to do it in order, as it were. So we have another resurrection account. This is what we do over the Easter season. We have several resurrection accounts. We had one on Easter Day. That was Mark's resurrection account. Weirdly, the one that doesn't actually have Jesus appearing in it. And then last week, there was John's account of Jesus coming to the disciples on that first Easter day into the upper room. And today's reading is arguably describing that same event as you heard about last week. It follows directly on in Luke's gospel from the road to Emmaus, when the disciples appeared, Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then they come running back and tell all the other disciples. So there are three different gospels, three different accounts of things that happened on Easter Day. Mark sets everything up. You're going to see Jesus. And then we see Jesus. They meet him in the flesh, in the human body that he has. And bodies is what I want to focus on today. So those of you who like listening whilst also doing and interacting, B and Ethne very kindly are going to have a table at the back where there's some activities to do with Play-Doh and bodies. And we definitely need one person, by the way, who's willing to be drawn around, just looking out there. So if you want to go back and kind of be active whilst you listen, feel free to head back there. Okay, so bodies, I think, are really important in both of our readings today. We have the truth of Jesus' resurrection body. We have the healing of the man's body in Jerusalem. But there is also a third body that I want to draw your attention to in these readings. The body of the church. So, let's have a look at all those. If you study the accounts of the disciples' encounters with Jesus, it's really interesting to see that all of the writers are at real pains to point out that Jesus meets with people in a real body, a real fleshy body. They have lots of points where they really note, they make an emphasis on this. They want to really point out that this is not a ghost or a group hallucination. They can touch him. They can see his scars. They can touch his hands and his feet. Now, in historical writing, ghosts don't have feet. This is quite a significant thing to understand. This is why feet are mentioned and they touch his feet. He's not a ghost. And here in Luke, we also hear that he eats with his disciples. And he eats some food. It's very specific. It's broiled fish. It's not an easy slide-down food. It's not Angel Delight or anything like that. It's broiled fish. It's full of bones. It's like really messy to eat, right? It's a very human dish. I just love that as a really key point that Luke is bringing this out. It was broiled fish. It probably, you know, made a big old mess. But this is also the only point in the Bible that it says Jesus ate. It points out that Jesus ate with them. Often, Jesus is the one giving the food, and then they eat. Here, they give Jesus the food, and he eats, and we hear that he eats. This is a human body. This is not a ghost. So Jesus is an alive human being. But he's also more than that, isn't he? Because after all, he did just suddenly appear. They're in a locked room, and Jesus was standing there with them. So it's a human body, but it doesn't seem to be fully obeying all of the laws of physics and the laws of nature. Hold on to that thought. Now, in this encounter, we have Jesus proving that his resurrection's not this mass hallucination. It's a new reality. His body really is alive once more. And what he then goes on to do, once he has shown them that his body is real, he goes on to establish another earthly body. This one will continue after he has ascended back to the Father. This one is also deeply, truly human and fleshy, but it is also something more. It's the church. This is a body that is on earth, that is alive through you and me, through the generations, living humans, a body that is far from perfect. We are all honest about that. Just as Jesus' resurrection body was far from perfect, it still had the scars that he bore, the consequence of his death. But the church as a body also has powers beyond the law of nature. Jesus establishes this new body on earth through opening the disciples' minds to understand what the resurrection was about. And in time, the Holy Spirit will come to inspire them afresh. And the Holy Spirit will be the one that binds them together, that gives them power, that enables this church, this body on earth, to be more than just human body and flesh. And we see this body, this church, lived out in Acts. In chapter 2, just before the one we read, we see how Jesus' followers are living together, sharing everything together. They stand out as a body of people because of the way they live, the way they dedicate their lives to teaching, fellowship, community, to prayer. And they perform wonders and signs, we hear. They make this body different from everyone else around them because of the way they function together. It's a body made up of humans and yet not necessarily obeying all the laws of nature, just like Jesus' resurrection body. And then in chapter 3, we have this first fully described miraculous sign that the disciples perform. We have Peter telling the person, the story goes, Peter says to him, "Look at me, I have no money to give you, but what I give you is in the power of Jesus' name. Get up and walk." And he did. There's power in the name of Jesus. That is what Peter is saying. There's power in this resurrection Jesus. And I believe that the writer of Acts has put this particular healing here in this moment for a reason, because it acts as an amazing metaphor for everything I've just spoken about the earthly body that Jesus is establishing, what Jesus' resurrection has done for humanity. It's a metaphor for the healing of the body of Christ on earth. This healing is one in which a body is made strong. Those are the words that Peter uses. And here, forgive me, this is where the Greek geek comes out, but the Greek is actually really interesting. It talks about completely healing him. In this translation, it says completely healing, but the word is actually more like complete wholeness, complete soundness once more in his body, in this man's body. And Peter gives the explanation to all who are there to hear that this is because of faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus brings wholeness, completeness. The word here is kind of unique in the New Testament, actually, but that concept of wholeness, completeness, that isn't new to us, right? We have this understanding of shalom. Shalom being much more than peace. Shalom being wholeness in God. God's goodness filling us, surrounding us. So this completeness we find in God, just as Jesus came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you," this wholeness in Jesus' name brings us healing as a body on earth. So Peter's explanation is that witnessing to the power of faith in Jesus, witnessing to that, saying Jesus' name in that belief, that understanding, that connection with Jesus, it brings wholeness and healing and makes us strong. This is what Peter's explanation of the resurrection is all about. It's about wholeness for us. But let's not get sucked down the individualistic route. It's not just wholeness for us as individuals. It is wholeness for us as a body of Christ. It is bringing us together as a new body on earth, healed, made strong, together. Peter goes on to remind the people in this Acts reading that the promise given to Abraham in the very beginning was that Abraham would be a blessing for all nations. In Luke, Jesus speaks about the repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all nations. This new body, made up of people united by faith in Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit, is a witness to the healing power of God for the whole of creation, for all nations. It's God's ability to restore everything. So what God is doing in the world is bigger than us individually. It is about us being this new body. We are being made strong, made into a new body in Jesus. So how do we become a part of this body? This is where I think lots of us say, oh, well, I don't know enough yet. I can't really be part of it. Or I have doubts. So I don't really count myself as part of that body of Christ. Well, it seems from this reading in Luke that lack of knowledge is not a barrier to belonging. These disciples did not know and understand before Jesus made them into his new body. He then taught them, and the Spirit continues to inspire and teach us once we're already in the body. The Holy Spirit inspired and gave power to this new body. We'll talk more about that when we get to Pentecost, but it is a daily thing. We have this power, this Spirit that we can call on. This is not something we have to have before we belong. It's something that we get as part of the body. It also seems that doubts are not a barrier to belonging to this body. The Gospels mention that the disciples have doubts, or they are doubting, in virtually every single resurrection account. It's really important that we notice that doubting is okay. We can have questions. That is not a barrier or a hindrance to us belonging to this body. The main thing that all of these earthly accounts of the church have in common is that the people, the bodies, the individuals, chose to be present. They chose to physically bring their bodies to gather together in building up this community. That first Easter day, even though they were scared and they were afraid, they chose to be together. After Jesus' resurrection, they chose to be together daily and gather together daily. Being present means that we are actively choosing to be open to God, moving among us. Physically gathering together is a powerful thing in itself. Didn't we learn that the hard way through COVID, when we weren't allowed to gather together? Yes, God is more powerful. God can bring us together virtually. There are many ways that we can gather. That does work. Yes, we're not always in isolation. The joy of Zoom, we can gather. But there is immense power in physically being together. It's why the Church of England has a church in every parish. That was the vision. Because it's about being present, being physically there in a community. That has power. The body can be seen to be real, to be alive, to be physical. It's a body that's not perfect, but it is present and it has power. Just like Jesus being present in that upper room, the body of Christ, the church, is physically present in every single community. So, we today, we are the body of Christ in this place, in this locality, in Romsey. How are we witnessing to the resurrection power of Jesus in this place? I mean we, us, together. I don't mean each of us individually in our own lives and in our own circles. But how are we, as St. Philip's, a church, being physically present in this community, bringing peace, bringing compassion, bringing healing? How are we witnessing in how we interact with each other, in how we function together, how we work with each other to help others? How are we making ourselves distinct and standing out as the body of Christ? Being part of this body is a communal thing. It is not an individual thing. Yes, we all have a personal relationship with God, but we then are brought together as a body, held, inspired, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have a way to respond to that thought. There's going to be a time of quiet as we all think about how we are part of that body, how we feel connected, or whether we don't. Don't sit alone with those doubts or questions or wondering. Talk to someone about it. Chat with me about how you'd like to be more involved or what you think you could do. Join a small group to talk to others about it. There are lots of ways to chat with other people to help us be more connected as a body. But in a time of quiet now, I think Bea and Ethne have created a body for us, I hope. They've drawn round somebody, and we have a life-size body that we're going to bring round to each of you for you to write your name in the body. To just have that moment to go, yes, I'm going to be joining this body. So in our time of quiet, you can either come over and grab a pen and write, or we will bring it round to you as well. So we can also lean over people if you can come and find a way to write your name on the body if that's what you would like to do. So let's just be quiet and respond.